Oh, the phone.
Darn it. It would ring at a time like this. Don't answer it, Emily.
Oh, I must. Let me go, please.
Not until you give me another kiss.
All right. Here it is. There. Now, I must answer that phone.
Don't get up. Here, answer it right from my lap.
All right. Mr. Kruger's office.
It is Mrs. Kruger. Is my husband there?
Just a moment, please. It's your wife.
Tell her I'm in conference, Miss Freeman. Go ahead. What are you holding your hand over the mouthpiece for?
I'm letting her wait the length of time it could take you to come in here with the message.
Smart girl. How about another little kiss while you're waiting?
Why not?
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Oh, sorry to have kept you waiting, Mrs. Kruger. But I find Mr. Kruger is in conference.
Please have him call me when he's free.
Yes, Mrs. Kruger. I'll have him call you when he's free.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
I'll have him call you when he's free. That'll be never. For I'm never going to let you free, Emily.
If anybody ever tells your wife about us, she'll be free from you.
You don't think I'll tell her?
Well, you can be sure I won't tell her.
Today's radio play, Office Romance, is based on a most interesting story taken from the pages of next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine distributed with all Hearst Sunday newspapers from coast to coast.
Yes? Oh, good morning, Miss McGinnis.
Good morning, Miss Freeman. Harry in?
Yes, Mr. Kruger's in. I'll find out if he's here.
Come in.
Mr. McGinnis to see you, Mr. Kruger.
Send him in.
You may go right in, Mr. McGinnis.
Thanks, Miss Freeman.
Hello, Harry.
Well, Jack, old boy, how's Frick?
So-so.
Sit down. Here, have a smoke.
Thanks.
Well, what's on your mind, Jack?
Plenty. I'm in a jam, Harry.
Money?
No, my wife.
Say, that's too bad. Sorry to hear it, Jack. But maybe you're making a mountain out of a molehill. Everything will straighten out. You just give it time.
You've got it all wrong, Harry. I'm not making anything out of it, but the wife is.
Well, I don't want to sound preachy, Jack. We're men of the world. But if you will play with fire, you're liable to get burned.
I know that. Only this time, I'm absolutely innocent.
What?
On the level, Harry. You see, somebody sent this letter to my wife. Oh, here, read it.
A friend who wishes you well warns you that your husband is in love with his typist and is plotting to bring about a divorce. Act upon this warning. I'd hate to have my wife get one of these. Who sent it?
I don't know. That's just the trouble. It may have been sent as a practical joke. If so, it's a darn poor one.
I'll say.
My wife hit the roof when she got that letter, and she hasn't come down yet.
I can understand that. Perfume newspaper. Purple ink? Do you know the handwriting?
No, I never saw it before in my life.
Let's see. The stamp was canceled at the West Side branch of the post office at 11:30 p.m. last night. Know anybody living in that section of town?
No. Adelaide lives... I don't know a soul over that way.
Adelaide isn't your present secretary, is she?
No, I didn't mean to mention Adelaide's name. Skip it, Harry. But I'm telling you the truth. It's strictly business between my secretary and me.
Have you any idea who could have sent this?
There's only one person I could think of. That's why I'm here.
Good heavens, Jack. You don't suspect me.
No, not you, Harry. But your secretary.
Emily? Miss Freeman?
Yes.
Why?
Well, I don't think she likes me. Miss Freeman was once my secretary.
What? She was your secretary? Then you and she were...
Now, wait a minute, old man. Let me explain. Miss Freeman filled in for my regular girl who was ill at the time. I admit I tried to date her up, but it was no go. I didn't have room for her on the staff when my girl came back, so I fired her.
Go on.
Well, I figured she always held that against me, and knowing I tried to date her, well, thought it was my usual routine with a pretty secretary. Then when she thought enough time had elapsed for me to have forgotten her, she sent this note to my wife.
Well, what do you want me to do?
Ask her if she wrote it.
You bet I will.
Thanks, Harry.
But you're all wet on this, Jack. Miss Freeman wouldn't do such a thing.
You rang, Mr. Kruger?
Yes, Miss Freeman. Come in a moment. Mr. McGinnis tells me that you were once his secretary.
Yes, sir. For 3 days. He fired me because I wouldn't go out to dinner with him.
He told me that, too. Now, Miss Freeman, Have you harbored any grudge against Mr. McGinnis because his attempt to bait you?
Why, no, sir.
You're positive about that?
Absolutely. He only acted according to his rules. No date, no job.
I told you she thought that was my usual routine. Miss Freeman, did you send this note to Mrs. McGinnis?
This? Why, of course not. Why should I? I have no interest personally in Mr. McGinnis.
I'm glad to hear it. That's all, Miss Freeman.
I'm sorry to have had to do this, Miss Freeman, but I must trace the writer of that note.
That's quite all right, Mr. McGinnis. Will that be all, Mr. Kilgore?
Yes. Thank you, Miss Freeman. Well, that's that.
Yeah, I'm afraid it is.
Wish I could help you, Jack. You're in a tough spot. I'd hate to have my wife get a note like this.
Yes, Harry. I'll bet you would.
Thing happened at the office yesterday. Jack McGinnis came over.
I've been waiting for you, Harry.
Oh, sorry, I couldn't get home to dinner, Olive. Got tied up at the office.
With your secretary?
With my... What are you talking about, Olive?
So that's what all those conferences were about. Every time I called, a secretary of yours said you were in conference. I might have known it was with her.
Now listen to reason, Olive. How do you expect me to get any work done if I have to stop and answer the telephone every time it rings?
She said she'd have you call me when you were free.
Well, I've been pretty busy today.
How long has this been going on, Harry?
What's been going on?
This office romance.
What office romance? I don't know what you're driving at, Olive.
Maybe this letter will be more explicit. Listen to this. A friend who wishes you well warned you that your husband is in love with his typist, who is plotting to bring about a divorce. Act upon this warning.
Holy.
Yes, I guess that does surprise you. You thought I'd never find out about it, didn't you?
You're jumping to conclusions, Olive. I can explain everything.
No doubt. You've probably had your explanation ready for months, just waiting until something like this happens.
No, I haven't, Olive. I never thought...
That I'd find out? Well, I have.
Wait, Peter. You don't understand. Now listen to me.
I'll listen to you on the witness stand.
Olive, don't do anything foolish. I know all about that letter.
You know all about it?
Yes. Now, let me take a look at it.
Here it is. How could you know all about it? You're bluffing. A very clever reaction, Harry. But it's not going to work.
My golly. The very same letter. Perfume paper, purple ink.
You've seen it before?
Yes, I've seen it before. I saw it in my office yesterday.
What do you mean?
Now, that's what I wanted to tell you. A fellow came in to see me. Name's McGinnis. Jack McGinnis. You don't know him. Well, he had the same thing pulled on him with his wife.
I don't understand.
He got home the other night to face the same questions you've just asked me. The same letter, word for word, on the same perfume stationery and written in this purple ink, was handed to him by Mrs. McGinnis. He brought it over to show me. He was nearly crazy.
With guilty remorse?
He wasn't guilty.
No.
Oh, you wives are all alike. The first anonymous letter that falls into your hands, you accuse us husbands of everything on the calendar. Wait until I get Jack. I'll fix him.
Why? What is he to do with this?
Well, you see, we thought it must be some sort of practical joke, and I said I'd hate to have you get a letter like this, and he said, well, never mind what he said. But he must have gone out and mailed this to you to play the same joke on me.
There's only one way to prove that, Harry.
Olive, don't you believe me?
I will, providing I don't get any more of these letters.
Come in.
Mr. McGinnis to see you, Mr. Kilgore.
I want to see you, Mr. McGinnis.
You may come right in, sir.
Hey, Harry, I found out who's been writing.
I've been trying to reach you at your office all morning.
Well, now, that's funny. I've been trying to get you.
You won't think it's funny when I get through with you.
Well, what's the matter?
You're a great pal, you are.
Well, what?
What do you mean by sending this darn note of yours to my wife?
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I didn't send that note to your wife.
Quit lying. You suppose I didn't recognize it?
I tell you, it isn't the note my wife got.
I suppose there's another, just like it.
Yes. Two of them, in fact.
And here they are.
What?
This is the one I showed you the other day. And this is the one my wife got yesterday.
Well, I'll be doggone. Then who sent this one to my wife?
The same person who sent these to mine. Your secretary, Miss Freeman.
Oh, why, you're crazy, Jack.
She sent these letters and I can prove it. When was your wife mailed?
Let's see. 11:30 p.m. from the West Side Station, the night before last.
And so were both of my wife's notes. One, the night before last, when your wife was mailed. And the other, the night before that.
Say, this has me going.
Miss Freeman lives on the West Side, doesn't she?
Yes.
Did you know she's been going to a nerve specialist for treatment for some time?
Why, no. I don't know anything about her private life.
Well, I do. I had a detective look at this note. He said it was probably written by a mental case. So he made a survey of all the specialists in town. A Dr. Loran has recognized this as the handwriting of a patient, a Miss Emily Freeman.
Then he needs some of his own medicine. These notes aren't in Miss Freeman's handwriting.
Oh, yes, they are. And the handwriting she uses when under the influence of a deep-rooted subconscious fear. You see, Harry, she's afraid some wife may have her fired, so...
She mails them the notes she's afraid someone else may send.
That's the payoff.
How can you prove it?
Well, now, in order for these notes to have been canceled at the post office at 11:30, they must have been mailed not later than 11, right?
Yes.
Now, every night for the past few evenings, these notes have been mailed at 11 o'clock. It's likely that some more will be mailed tonight.
Say, my wife mustn't get another one of these.
Nor mine either. So you and I are going to watch Miss Freeman's house about 11 o'clock tonight.
About 1 minute to 11, Jack.
Yeah.
He's been hanging around his mailbox all evening, and we haven't seen any sign of that secretary of mine.
No. I guess we were barking up the wrong tree, Harry. But I would have bet my shirt on what the doc told me.
What did he tell you?
Well, he said... Oh, Harry.
Yes?
Look.
Where?
At Miss Freeman's house.
What's the matter?
The door is open.
So it is.
She's coming out. In her nightdress. Quiet now, Harry. Don't speak to her. Let's see what she does.
She's coming over here to the mailbox. Let's get back in the doorway so she won't see us.
She won't see us. She's asleep.
What?
That's what the doc told me. She's a sleepwalker. While in a trance, she wrote those letters and mailed them. See? She's got a couple more to be mailed.
She won't have them long. Come on, Dad. A letter in the hand is worth two in the mailbox.
The radio drama to which you have just listened was suggested by one of the many interesting stories which appear in the American Weekly, the magazine which will come to you with your Hearst newspaper next Sunday. This is Wentworth announcing. At this time, I wish to introduce your own station announcer, who has a message of interest for you.